Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. We have our astrologer here today. We have a very interesting summer season. Her name is Tish Akin, and Tish is a New York-based astrologer with over a decade of experience, and she can pull up your chart using your birth date, year, time, and place. Tish looks at the current trends in your life. She provides time frames and dates for upcoming love, career, personal, and financial cycles. It's a great tool to maximize dates and make the most of your lucky cycles and transit. It's also useful to prepare and master the lessons from the more challenging cycles. Welcome, Tish. How are you tonight?
I'm mastering the more challenging cycles. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm challenging my cycle, too, and it's not my menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of heavy shit going on, don't we? Like last week, I had a meltdown. I had a meltdown last week, which was actually good because it got the energy flowing. I mean, I think with everything, there's a duality in the universe, but let us go on. What's going on right now that everybody wants to, shoot somebody?
Well, yeah, and it's a good question, and it is really tough. And I think it's there are a lot of different things at once. So if we look back 2 weeks ago, and we know, on the world stage, there were two suicides of very well-known figures very closely, I think within a couple of days of each other.
Correct.
And at that time, there were a lot of heavy Neptune cycles, and Neptune is the planet on the higher level of spirituality and creativity and intuition and empathy, and it's the ruler of Pisces. And actually, if you think of the two people, the public figures, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, they were both incredibly creative individuals, you know, in different ways. But Neptune on the lower level, on the lower form, or when we're dealing with challenging Neptune cycles, can make us feel really lost. It can be bad for people that have depression or mental illness or addiction issues. And the thing that's been going on in the last couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago we had Neptune squaring the Sun in Gemini and Mercury in Gemini. And when there's a lot of Gemini energy, it's very it's high-speed thinking and lots of ideas, and it can be incredibly cerebral energy. But it also can be where you're thinking about so many different things, and you have Neptune challenging that, and it can make you get lost and get scared and kind of go off on these tangents and not know what's real and what's not real. And then you add another factor, which we're going to be working with on and off through the end of September, and you said what is making people want to shoot their heads off or whatever, or, you know, feeling that energy. Well, Mars, which is traditionally a malefic, met up with the South Node in Aquarius that same week, and it's going to meet up again on July 21st of next month. So we feel the build up about 5 days beforehand, and then it peaks on the day that's exact, which in this case is July 21st, and then we have a third meeting of the two on September 26th. And what it means is Mars is how we take action. It can be rage, it can be passion, it can be incredible anger, but it can also be how we get things done. And the South Node is about releasing things. And so you were kind of saying earlier that you're trying to let go of things that are bothering you to kind of, you know, work with it. And I think that's what we all have to try to do this summer. You know, among other things, we're also going to have three eclipses. So there's so many different things at play. And Neptune is actually stationing retrograde today. So we feel the retrograde 5 days before and 5 days after. And it really just enhances the qualities of Neptune, which is dreaminess, intuition, but it is the house of endings, or the sign of endings, and it can bring a lot of, you know, difficulties and heavy emotions. So that's some of it, but that's not even all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And, you know, being you and I are very sensitive, and we have friends mm-hmm. that are very sensitive. We feel it more intensely than others sometimes. At least that's my opinion. And,
yep.
you know, I've called you up and say, am I going out of my freaking mind? And you're like, no, it's just the cycle. You're an Amy. I'm like, great. What else is new? You know, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. And I'm thinking, okay, because that's that. In the last show, we talked about Saturn and Scorpio. I thought I never would get through that cycle without
mm-hmm.
you. That was like the worst.
Oh, gosh, that was a tough one, yeah. And I actually think that in contrast that in some ways, you know, Saturn's now in Capricorn, which is an Earth sign, and it's grounded, and it's in a sign that it rules. And if we work with Saturn in Capricorn, it's excellent for getting things accomplished. It's excellent for achieving goals. But at the moment, we're dealing with heavy Neptune. And this summer, we have a lot of planets retrograde aside from Neptune. Most of the planets are going to be retrograde. And when planets are retrograde, the energy is diminished. So it's more of a slow moving. It's a review period. It's reflecting. Think of this as kind of finishing things up. And in some cases, letting things go that aren't working right, that aren't, you know, effective.
Yeah, and I feel, because I'm finishing up some schoolwork, which I did. Actually, I got 3 courses that I need to get done. I need to get one more, and then I have to write my paper. And I got everything written out already, and I'm just getting
good.
It done. And, you know, that's what I'm focusing on, is just getting things done before the fall for some reason, and I've been feeling that for a while.
That's good. So you kind of got this in gear before the retrograde, because Mars is going to retrograde from June 26th until August 28th. And the thing about it is that if somebody were thinking of becoming incorporated or starting a new job, well, we are going to have 3 eclipses, so there are going to be a lot of changes. And in some cases, yeah. it might be inevitable. Maybe somebody has to take another position. But if people can avoid initiating something new, ideally, I would wait till after August 28th, after Mars goes direct, and some of the planets will be direct then.
Okay, let's talk about Mars retrograde, since I have, I don't know if in my chart, if it's in the 7th or 8th house, and I've had anger issues. What does Mars mean when you go retrograde? Do you go banana cakes, or what's up with that?
I think that this is an unusual one because, again, Mars, because it's retrograding, is meeting up South Node 3 times, and that is negative energy. Mars retrograde in itself, yeah, it could, you could think of it as somebody who's passive-aggressive, so that's not really healthy when you hold in anger. But if people use it as a way of reflecting, I guess, I mean, you know, maybe it's a way, if one has anger issues or if one's dealing with something that's very frustrating, maybe this summer might be a time to kind of, you know, you're going to have, basically, I don't think we're going to have any choice but to be patient in some situations. And that might be a way to try to, I don't know, you know, thinking about how to work better with anger and how to use it in a way to empower you to get something done. Or if you're passionate about something, do it something, you know what I mean? Take it out in another venue or another way.
That's true. Yeah, and I've learned how to work with that. It's just, you know, interesting because I've noticed that people are more volatile
mm-hmm.
In the last 2 weeks. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay. even people are cutting me off more in Florida. And, you know, it's bad enough I got old people down here trying to cut me off.
Yeah, and Mars rules motors, too, among other things. And so people are getting, you're seeing more road rage type of stuff?
Yeah, I'm seeing more road rage, and people are cutting people off, and, mm-hmm. you know, more, I'm seeing the Hawaiian good luck sign, even more so down here. So I didn't know that Mars ruled the motors. That's funny. That's
yeah, and, you know, I think, though, that Mars South Node meetup that we saw 2 weeks ago, and that was when we had heavy Neptune energy. I think what's making this harder is people are feeling anger, but at the same time, there's a heavy Neptunian theme right now. And Neptune can, you know, among other things, can represent depression. And really, that's inverted anger, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep,
so it's hard. So it makes it where people are depressed, but they're also angry and confused and you know. But I think that hopefully, you know, it might be a good thing for people to finish things up this summer with Mars retrograde. Old lovers could return because Mars rules sexuality also. You know, old, you know, whether or not people want them, they're going to have to decide that people from, you know, old flames could reappear, you know.
Oh, God. I blocked him on everything. Please, please, God, no.
Yeah, right?
I'm sorry. I just thought of somebody. you know what I'm talking about, too, I think.
Yeah.
yeah, it's like, go away, and he's a Capricorn. let's talk about eclipses for a second. What is an eclipse? And tell us about the three major eclipses that are going to happen this summer that people need to be aware of.
We're going to have major eclipses. So an eclipse is an extra powerful new moon or a full moon. And what it means is we have a new moon and a full moon each month, but an eclipse is close to the nodes of fate. And so, and you know, to the nodes of the moon. And basically, we're finishing up the eclipses in Leo, Aquarius. So the fixed signs have been impacted the most by this. And eclipses can be very, they can be very jarring. They can be eye-opening. They can really shake us up, but to wake us up, you know. And we were dealing with eclipses in Leo Aquarius that began on August 18th of 2016. And we have two eclipses in the Leo Aquarius axis. So so that's going to be on July 27th. We're going to have a full moon eclipse at 4 degrees of Aquarius. So anybody with, you know, between 2 and 6 degrees of the fixed signs, which are Aquarius, Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, Leo, and Scorpio will feel that energy the most, but we're all going to feel that energy, and that's a releasing energy. And then we have the final eclipse, solar eclipse in Leo, and that's going to be on August 18th, and that's a new moon eclipse. Full moon eclipses tend to be more about fruition and release, and solar eclipses and new moons tend to be more about initiating things and planting seeds. But with eclipses, they're very, you can expect the unexpected. They can be very unpredictable. So one, you know, lunar eclipses can bring beginnings, and solar eclipses can also bring endings. And the other thing in the equation is that we're starting eclipses in the Cancer-Capricorn axis. So we're going to have a very powerful eclipse on July 12th that's not making the easiest of aspects. So what I think for all of us to bear in mind is that some relationships might be under strain this summer because Mars retrograde, well, again, Mars deals with sexuality and it deals with the masculine energy. And then you have eclipses in Leo, you know, more specifically, Leo rules the heart in romance. And then, you know, the Mars South Node energy that we have again strongly in July is going to be releasing and letting go. So there are going to be relationships that, if they're not working, that people have to be careful, though, that, you know, because sometimes people might have a bit of that cadence to their relationship. They might have, you know, they might argue, but it doesn't mean they necessarily are in an unhealthy dynamic. But if it gets more pressured, they're going to want to watch this energy closely, I think, all summer, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that, I'm telling you. Do I go to Key West and hide now or later?
Are you going to go to Key West pretty soon?
I may go sooner than you think.
It would be a great time for healing work and going to a place like Key West to relax and be by the ocean. I think would be very healing with this.
Yeah, especially since I think I have one in my career of Leo. I think you told me one of these eclipses. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God.
But that can also be great, though. It could be new beginnings. You know what I mean? And it can be bringing culmination. So that I think some of it, because eclipses can really bring amazing opportunities too. I've seen some, you know, eclipses. Again, expect the unexpected, but I've seen some really big things in a good way start. It's just that it's very, even if it's not anything, you know, dramatic, it's a high-pressured time. It's a busy time of year, you know, during eclipse seasons.
I've been busy now. I don't know about you, but I've been slammed, which I'm grateful.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very grateful. I'm grateful. I'm not complaining. But it's like I've noticed for me, I've had to take more self-care. Like I just take off.
I have noticed that too, and I've noticed that I've had trouble doing it. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of like things are kind of coming in like all over the place. You know what I mean? Like request here or this there, and that is hard to go with that tempo after a while.
It is, and sometimes I'm just at the point where I think I'm going to shut off all my electronics.
That is interesting, because what's another thing that happened recently is Uranus went into Taurus. I think we touched on this the last time. And Uranus, among other things, rules social media. It rules the Internet. It rules technology. And it was in a fire sign, which is a very quick-moving fire sign of Aries. And now it just recently entered Taurus, which is an earth sign, which is about getting into nature. It's ruled by Venus. It's about things that are beautiful. It's a very tactile sign, and it's about slowing down, and I think taking little breaks from technology. I think we need to, you know, on some level. We're not going to be able to completely, but little breaks, I think, are another thing you're going to see much more.
Yeah, what about our illustrious president? Is he going to take a break from Twitter?
I don't know, but I noticed his wife, who is a Taurus, is seeming to, I didn't notice that their relationship seems more strained. I don't know if you noticed that. I don't know with him. He's kind of a loose cannon, obviously. But I noticed that she has been kind of taking different stance on things than he, and didn't celebrate her birthday or his with him, so that's kind of interesting. And Uranus will be coming to her son next year. But with him, I don't know about that. I don't like to get too political, I think. I think that's a difficult one with so many people have different opinions.
Yeah, it's just interesting because he's a Uranus. So anyway, that's my opinion. Well, sometimes I'm just like, oh, what's in your chart, Mr. Trump?
Well, you know, what's funny is that new moon last week was, I think it was his birthday, and it was squaring Neptune. Therefore, Neptune is squaring his sun. I don't know if it's exact, but for somebody that has that double talks already, I mean, you can see he's a Gemini, right? And in the lower form, not all Geminis do that, so just to make that clear. But then with the Neptune energy, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah, we will. I just had to ask about that because I'm like, oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had to bring that up.
No, I don't blame you at all. I don't.
Yeah, I've noticed that I haven't seen his wife in a while. She's had some health issues,
Well, he
too.
Said supposedly, not that, I'm just kind of trying because I think our world is such dire stuff, such dire things are happening. I just noticed that last week, I think it was his birthday, and I think he said he celebrated by Melania kissing him or something in the morning. And they said she was like on a solo trip somewhere. I think either in New York, I forgot where she was, but it's kind of funny. But
Let's go back to the retrogrades for a second. What is you had said something to me about the outer planets being retrograde is better than the inner planets. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, every year the outer planets retrograde. So aside from Mars, which is kind of in the middle, it's an inner planet, but it's the last of the inner, and then we get to Jupiter. We're getting to the outer planets. So, you know, Mars only retrogrades once every 2 years. So that's a big deal in itself. But the outer planets, like Saturn, which is how we structure ourselves, or Uranus, which is the Great Awakener. Neptune is stationing now. That's the planet of creativity and selfless love, but also delusion and deception on the lower form. All of those planets, Pluto, which is transformation and power, those planets retrograde every year for several months. We feel the energy 5 days before and 5 days after. So today, I'm feeling very Neptunian. You know, that Neptune energy is strong. But once we get past 5 days from now, it's going to be retrograde till November. So you're not going to notice that. You know what I mean? Once that, it's retrograde. It's retrograde for almost half the year. So it's not a big deal. But the personal planets like Mercury, how we communicate, our perspective, our outlook on things. Venus is going to retrograde in the fall. That is our relationships. It's what we value. It's our, you know, that's also very, it's our finances. That's going to retrograde from October 5th through November 15th. That's a big deal, too. So the outer planets are more, you know, if you think about it, anybody born your year or within a few years of you is going to have a lot of the outer planets in the same sign, in some cases the same degree, you know, so mm-hmm. or a close in degree if it's within a year or so. So that's not going to be that big of a deal. But the personal planets, most of us have different Venus or Mercury or, you know, so it's uh-huh. going to impact people much more directly.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering about that. You've said that to me a few times, and I'm like, mm-hmm. what does that mean?
Yeah, because it's going to hit you, because it's like, yeah, you know, your relationships, other people. Saturn retrograde is more kind of, you could think of as, or, you know, I'm thinking of an outer planet. Yes, it's going to impact, but it's more like how you're restructuring your life. It's not necessarily going to be something comes up. Venus retrograde, you could definitely have an old boyfriend or girlfriend come up, you know, or maybe an old financial matter resurface. Mars retrograde, maybe something at work resurfaces, things like that. So, yeah, it is definitely more personal.
Yeah, great. What about, you know, you have, like, Neptune in your home sign retrograding. Does it affect you more?
I don't think Neptune retrograde, maybe. I think Neptune in your sun sign impacts you a lot more. I think it's a big deal. Yeah. That Neptune's transiting in your sun sign, not to mention the sign it rules, Pisces, right? So mm-hmm. that, to me, is a big deal. And Pisces are, you know, depending, it's still Neptune right now, as I think it's 14 degrees. Gosh, I'm feeling, again, very Neptunian. It's getting to the middle degrees. So pardon me, people with, you know, planets at the middle degrees of the mutable signs are going to feel that the most strongly. But I think Neptune cycles, I find, tend to be among the most difficult because, like you said, if somebody's already sensitive by nature, Neptune is going to enhance that. It's going to make them conceivably more vulnerable. They could be prone to depression or deception. There can be, I've seen people have very, you know, a lot of deception during Neptune cycles. If they, nothing that they've done, they've just been a recipient of it. And so that's hard to make sense of. With Saturn, it may test you, but if you work with it, you can find rewards. You can maybe ground yourself. Pluto maybe makes you eliminate things, but maybe you needed to, stuff like that. But Neptune, sensitive people, I never really get it, you know, for me at least. And I don't know how you feel. It's in your sign. But I think it's hard on Pisces, which is such a sensitive sign.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't smoke, and I may start taking it up again. I don't know.
So it's wanting to escape a little bit, too. And I think that, and that's the lower, I know you won't, but that is the lower form of Neptune because it's so hard to take all the pain one is in or the stress one is in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been noticing that I'm just, like, more sensitive, and I'm like, really?
Yep.
No?
Yep.
This sucks.
You and I were talking, and we don't have to get into the specifics, but we were talking that you mentioned you'd gotten bad news, and I didn't really say what had gone on with me today, but I had a friend really hurt my feelings about 20 minutes before the show to a point where I almost was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this because my friend is being so delusional about a situation. And it's somebody that I'm close with, but said something that I just could not believe. And again, I don't think it was intentional, but with Neptune, like, he wasn't seeing the situation clearly. And I'm very sensitive, but it was also outrageous. And he admitted later, but I don't think it can cloud our vision. So another thing for all of us to be aware of, not just my friend, but for me and for you, is that we have to be conscious of that people, you know, of hurting other people's feelings right now. And people, this summer is going to be a tough summer. So, you know, like we've seen in the last few weeks, for people that are sensitive, that they need to reach out, that are prone to stuff, whether it's good friends, whether it's seeing a therapist for a while, whether it's calling a suicide hotline, whatever it is, people need to be supported, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. I had a couple, actually the last couple of weeks, she's Scorpio, and she had said something to me that I never thought she would say. She said something to me again today, and I'm like, gotta go, bye. And I'm like...
Did it hurt your feelings?
Uh-huh, because I didn't, it did, you know, I have Scorpio rising, so I'm like, you know, WTF, and I shut her down, and I thought to myself, do I have to really evaluate this, because this has been getting a little toxic lately, and because you, I think that's what this is all about, too, reevaluating our friendships, at least that's what I'm feeling, you know, are they benefiting us or hurting us, and I don't know, she made a comment, too, that, you know, I should have never done this or something like that. And I'm like, huh? What? Did I just hear you right?
Right. And that was like, was it kind of out of left field, too?
Yes, yeah. And a couple of weeks ago and then today she made a comment. And I'm like,
that's interesting because a couple of weeks ago that Neptune energy would have been strong. And also, you know, Gemini people, as you mentioned, are present. Some people talk like they say, you know, that can be, they just are very communicative in general. But this thing, that they're not seeing it clearly. I agree with what you just said. I think that it's a time where people are going to reevaluate. And in some cases, it may not be that they have to end a relationship, but they may have to set some boundaries because, you know, of what is okay or not okay or really clear the air. So if there's, you know, we talked about, you know, Mars retrograde. Well, with all these eclipses, eclipses shake things up and they wake things up, right? So that's why I just said that earlier and I kind of like the way it rhymes and I didn't mean it to. But so it brings our attention to things that maybe we're unconscious of or maybe we never saw. It makes us see things in a different way. And with Mars retrograde, if there are things that we've been holding on to, anger or things we haven't expressed to friends, if we want to try to salvage the relationship, you know, maybe in a gentle way, because again, people could be, you know, very impulsive or they can be reactive. You know, you want to do it in a healthy way, but seeing if you can reframe the friendship so it's not toxic, or maybe you take you give it space, or maybe you depending on what, you know, and, you know, for you, but others too, what it is in each case. But I think there is, again, there will be release. And I did take a peek at your chart, and you do have Neptune going back and forth over your sun and hitting planets, so you have to be careful just of that. It's great for intuition. It's great for higher love. So again, and I know you do this stuff, and yes, Key West is wonderful with Neptune cycles. You want to surround yourself by the ocean, by water, and healing type of things, and energy work, things that you like to do. That is excellent use of that kind of energy, you know?
Well, it's interesting because I made a friend here locally, and we've gotten real close. And the beach is 7 minutes away, okay?
Yeah, I know. I keep forgetting that.
And
you're there.
So sometimes I'll be like, hey, so-and-so, do you want to go? Or she'll say, what are you doing today? And I'm like, you know what? My schedule is kind of light today. Let's sneak away.
That's great. You're very lucky, you know, and very healing to do that. And then do you feel, because it is cleansing, right? Once you do that, it's a much different energy, you know.
It is. I feel so much better, and we laugh, and, you know, because I don't drink, and she does. And I'm like, hey, you drink, and I'll have my old duels. So she'll say, you want to go for some old duels? So we do. And we have a great time, and we just talk. And, you know, like last Thursday, I told you I had a little bit of a meltdown because I got frustrated. You know, I'm like, okay, you're showing me things that are supposed to happen, Spirit. why isn't it happening? And then I got let go of that frustration, and I felt so much better. But we went by the water. So it's just, it's interesting how things are kind of lining up in that way, you know, getting away, doing things for the day or the afternoon.
Yeah, I think that's a great, that's a very, it's a very healthy thing to do. And I don't have quite the access to the ocean that you do, but I did do that last week. I got away the day, yeah, I was there for the new moon. I went to the ocean for 3 days. And I have a friend that, you know, there's a place I can stay sometimes. And it was just a good, it was a good, it was a great thing to do with all this energy. And I notice when I do readings by the ocean, and you probably feel this, you know, because you live so close, that I don't take in the negative energy as much, because it does, it cleanses much more quickly, you know?
It does. And I have had more salt lamps around the house, too. I have like 7 of them. Which helps.
What kind of lamp?
Salt lamp, you know, salt lamp.
Oh, they have land salt?
Yep, I have 7 of them. I have 2 in my living room.
I want to get one. I keep saying that every time I see one. I think they look really cool. And do you feel it? Like, do you feel the energy?
Yes, I feel the energy, and it's great, because sometimes if I'm working in the kitchen, I have 2 in there, I have 2 out here, I have 2 in the bedroom, and I have 1 in the spare room. No, I have 1 in the bathroom, too, because it just, the energy, it oxidizes the energy. And
I'm getting one tonight. When I get off the phone, I'm going to order what I sort of got. I'm getting one. It's like an infomercial. No, I am getting one. I want to get one. You see, so this kind of stuff that we're talking about, because the frustration factor that you described is very much, I think, a contingent of what we're going to be dealing with on some level this summer. And it's not a bad thing, but it's more about what do you do? Because sometimes, you know, it's like, remember when you were a kid and you were bored and you could read a book, you could do something, you know, really that would be good, you know, if you wanted to, or you could complain about being bored. And sometimes, you know, the child will do will read a book or do something else, or you could just be really frustrated and be bored. And remember back when time would take all day, you know, just it would seem forever. And it's that same kind of thing. You can either do something constructive, and I definitely want to get a Himalayan salt lamp, and I'm glad you just mentioned that, and do things like go to the ocean or maybe even try to take a friend out for coffee and have a healthy discussion about it. But taking healthy steps rather than just sit there like that bored kid and not do anything, you know, and let it just be a really long day, because that's what Mars retrograde will feel like if we let it, or we could do something with it, you know.
Yeah, and I joined, it was interesting because I just moved to this area 6 months ago, and I met that friend, and there's a gym up the street. And I'm like, the other gym that I go to is like way down the road. It's too far. But now her and I have no excuse, so I joined that gym last week, and she's joining tomorrow. So we've gone
That's
a couple
awesome.
Times. And, you know, these are ways of getting that anxiety out that you feel, or that impatience.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, the Himalayan salt lamp is also something that I like. I actually like it in my house. I have one that's like a lantern with the salt rocks in it, the Himalayan salt rocks, and then I have the
So
Himalayan
do you just
salt.
Buy it? Is it already put together, and then you just, or do you have to put it together?
This one I had to put together, but this was actually bought at a local store here. They had it on clearance. It's like one of those bargain stores, and I got a bunch
cool.
of them. And, you know, if you can get those, like, go to one of those bargain stores or those clearance stores, like Big Lots or Ollie's or something, you can get them next to nothing, like $20 or something.
Good.
That's
good. I'm
going
to do it. We should all do it. Everybody get one on the radio. No, it really sounds like a great idea. And I think, again, another thing you just said, you keep saying these themes, you started working out more and you're finding different ways to make it more accessible in your routine. Well, Mars is, again, how we take action. And if we're feeling frustrated, what's the best thing? What's the most natural antidepressant? Exercise, which I'm saying and I'm not doing at all. But, yeah, that's a good idea, Amy. Go work out, and eventually I'll join. No, I am going to start. I'm walking more, so I'm trying. But it is really, that's the best way. That's a... to me, is trying to get rid of that that energy, you know.
Well, You don't want to work out in Florida right now. It's like 90-some degrees out.
It's pretty bad here now, too. We didn't have much of a spring, but we now suddenly got extremely, extremely humid here. So, you know, now we had a very cold winter. We're not upstate, and I know you're originally from upstate, so it's not to that level. But it was cold for Manhattan, for the New York area, for sure.
Yeah, and I would not. Yeah, I'm going. Also, just another question for our listeners. You know, I'm going back up to Buffalo pretty soon. Is that also a retrograde move?
Yeah, I mean, you know, retrogrades, you think of retrogrades in general as RE words, revisit, return, reconnect, reevaluate, reassess, but definitely that's why sometimes people do return into our lives or issues return. Something maybe we deal with, you know, Mercury retrograde is easier to follow because it happens four times a year. So sometimes maybe something that came up earlier in the year you see surface later on a Mercury retrograde, you know, and that's one most people are familiar with. But absolutely, Mars, especially, would there potentially be any old boyfriends that would be there?
Oh, Christ, probably ex-husbands, ex-exes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
but just returning, and a lot of planets will be retrograde in general, so definitely. But are you doing something fun when you go there, or what are you planning on doing?
Well, I wanted to go up there to be by the water. Niagara Falls is up there. And I wanted to go up for the food is, I miss the food. And B, I miss there's Canal Fest in the Tonawandas, and it's right on the Niagara River, which runs between Lake Ontario and Lake Erie. So
wow.
I want to do that. I miss that. And so I'm staying with a friend of mine and, you know, just going to visit these areas because it's on my terms. And I just want to go and pick out a fish fry, you know, or beef.
That sounds very cool. And you're still going to be by the water, and at least it's not going to be freezing. So that'll be cool.
Well,
that'll be really nice.
Who knows with Buffalo, man? You never know. It's like it's like you got 9 months of winter and maybe 2 weeks of summer. I don't know. I mean, people are from Buffalo on my Facebook. You know, I post these, you know, on these shows, and they're gonna be like, "What do you mean?"
Oh, I know. Well, it's probably hard for them sometimes, and you know, because you lived there a long time. But you're now in warm weather, you know, all the time.
Right.
So it's a little different. But you know. They get a long season, that's for sure, cold season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, down here, but I'm grateful. But let's talk about that. When people move to different areas, it does change their astrology, correct?
It can, there is something, especially if it's a time zone change. If it's, you know, if you're born Eastern time or Pacific and you stay in the same time zone, it might change it, you know, minimally. It could change your ascendant, you know, and the houses, the cusps of the houses. And it could be a little too confusing to explain, but it could change it a bit. But if you, like, you know, I go to L.A. a lot, you know, to see clients, and my chart definitely changes where I think I have Scorpio rising there with Neptune on the ascendant. So then it gives me this very mystical Neptunian energy, kind of this, it's just a different vibe. And so, but I'm on East Coast, and so then it's going to the West Coast. So then it'll change the chart quite a bit. Or if you move to another country, which might even be a bigger time change. But absolutely, you can do that. And there's something called, that's a way that you can do it. You can relocate a chart, but there's also something called astrocartography, which I don't really work with too much. I've taken some workshops on, and it's very interesting. And they have a program, astro.com does it for free. I think it's called Astro Travel or Astro Quick Travel, and you can put in your, you know, your birth information and then just put in, like, if you want to see how you are in London or a different place, you can just kind of, you know, click that area, and it'll tell you where certain lines are. So like a Jupiter line, which would be abundance or wisdom or teaching, or Neptune, which could deal with mystical or spiritual or charity work or something, or, you know, Venus, which could be Venusian pursuits, whatever it might be. But you might also have malefic. So depending, a friend of mine wanted to go, she makes documentaries, and she wanted to go to Afghanistan, and she had a Pluto line there. And she and Pluto, among other things, can be death. And she was there actually when her hotel got bombed, but she was okay. But she was, you know, near a very dangerous scene, obviously. And it was on the news, and I saw it, and I thought, oh, I got scared. And I said, well, it couldn't be my friend. It's like anything. When you say, oh, do you know so-and-so, and it's you're in a certain place, but she actually was at that hotel. So there are different ways of checking and of changing your chart. But I think if people have software, if they work with astrology, just put in your birth information and then just put it for that other city. And then, yeah, you could have a totally different rising sign and stuff like that. But it's going to be bigger if it's a different time zone.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think we touched on this last time, but I think it's interesting how people can move around. I don't want to go to the West Coast and have a Pluto line. I'd be SOL. But,
you don't want to have a Pluto line. And I think for me, I don't know if I'd always want Neptune constantly. It's fun for a little bit, you know, and it's great for doing the work I do. But I don't know if I'd want Neptune there all the time because that might be a little much, too. It might be in la-la land literally all the time. So,
don't we sometimes want to be in la-la land?
Yeah, sometimes, definitely.
Especially these past couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I've been wanting to go high.
Neptune makes it feel like La La Land, you know, and so, but I think that, are you finding have you seen any endings recently, like any people breaking up or leaving jobs or things like that yet?
Not really, not that in my practice anyway, not that I can think of right now,
mm-hmm.
but of course, you know, you and I have a lot of clients, so it kind of
mm-hmm.
like, you're like, duh, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I have noticed that people are acting a lot more, especially with boundaries. People are just standing their ground and saying, this is what I want. And I think people are more clear than they have been in the past.
And that's interesting because that's the opposite of Neptune, which has no boundaries. It rules the ocean, which is limitless. And yet Saturn in Capricorn, Saturn is all about the boundaries. So we're going to have Saturn and Capricorn on and off through the end of 2020. So each of us is, in a sense, dealing with a very Saturn-Capricorn theme, which is good. That is making us insist on our boundaries, but Neptune challenges it. But I'm glad to hear that people are standing in their truth on that, though, because it doesn't mean Neptune has to, you know, we can still stand it. And I really think, I mean, Saturn is going to really, because, you know, that's going to, again, if people work hard with it, they could really establish their goals, and I think boundaries are important, you know.
Yeah, I just noticed that some people, like, the breakups are, like, you know, really, this is, maybe it's like the guy who says, no, I want you to stop calling me 20 times a day because you're acting, you're nuts, maybe because you're Neptunian, and he's kind of like, no, we're not doing this anymore until you get help. I had a woman email me today that, and I'm, like, trying not to crack up. Because I'm like, I've been telling her this, you know, I only saw this 6 months ago. And told you. Are you smoking ganja or something? I told you.
Right. Oh, man. But it's hard because, in a sense, if you think about it with a Neptune station, maybe for her, even though it can, you know, in a way it enhances Neptune, maybe it's lifting the fog for her finally, you know?
Yeah, well, especially when he blocked her ass, you know. So.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it.
Yeah, she's emailing. She blocked me, and I'm like, yeah. I kind of told you that, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I might be getting more sensitive here, but I'm kind of seeing things a little bit more, you know, which I can't believe. I don't even understand that, too. If you're very intuitive, how you can become more sensitive. And I don't want my guides to answer that question without me knowing what's going on because it's scary.
Well, that is scary, but that could be part of the Neptune transit. So you yourself are embodying, you know, something that we're all kind of feeling collectively, but that's, again, Neptune's energy. So Neptune's going back and forth over your sun. It's going to really heighten your intuition and your psychic abilities, but sometimes it can also, it can make you feel very vulnerable, very sensitive, because it's that, you know, it's a very sensitive water sign, and it's the last of the 12 signs, but it's a... But I do think it really enhances intuition and psychic ability when one is in the Neptune cycle. And then the other thing, which is great, that you're going to the ocean, that you have all the salt lamps around. And by the way, at the end, we have a salt lamp company that we wanted to tell you about. We were just preparing to tell you. I'm just kidding. But no, but those kind of things will help you to purge that energy, because Neptune, you can really absorb. As a Pisces anyway, you know that. Mm-hmm. But Neptune can make you whole, you know, take on others' energy. You know, you don't want that.
Yeah, I know. I've been what they call decording, which to our audience, that is removing etheric cords from your energy that are not yours. That's another boundary. And also, there's Himalayan salt caves, too, if anyone's interested. We have one on sale. No, I'm just kidding.
But I am actually really getting one. That is true. But I think you're right, though, that I just think that I also think, and maybe it's the maybe kind of, which is good about our conversation, we're showing it, people feel a little spaced out. I've been really busy, but I also feel a little spaced out.
I know, me too. I'm like, what do I have to do today? What? Oh, yeah. I got to do this. Oh, I need to, okay. What day of the week is? Okay.
Yeah. You know, and that's okay. You know, I think it's going to be for a little bit, but again, Saturn in Capricorn is very antithetical of that. That's about really being, you know, strategic, on time, you know, having focus. But, you know, I think on the bigger level, we're all dealing with having to heed Saturn in Capricorn. So if we feel a little spaced out, we need to recharge, I think we need to listen to our bodies, because it's going to be a heavy summer. Doesn't mean it has to be daunting or scary, but there are going to be issues for people where they could feel a bit, you know, at the end of their rope, or they're just like, they don't want to deal with something. You know what I mean? More like they don't want to deal with their job anymore, or they don't want to deal with the relationship. Maybe not, you know, be impulsive and quit the job or break up. Give it some thought. Maybe you do want to end that situation, but give it thought and don't just do it in the moment. And that may be easy to say, you know, but just something to just keep in mind for all of us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll tell people things that are going on. I don't always necessarily, because I guess we have to learn it. I don't always, you know, then I'll lose my temper or something, and then I'll say, I wrote about that today. Why am I doing this? But we just sometimes have to learn the lessons, you know.
Yeah, we have to learn. Sometimes we teach what we need to learn. And
yeah.
I find that very true. If I'm going through something, then I'm attracting clients that are going through something similar. And,
definitely.
You'll be doing a reading, or you'll be doing a healing, and then your guide, you know, your spirit guides are like, you know, that applies to you too. Oh, shut up.
Mm-hmm. And that is really, I find that very interesting, that a lot of times in different phases of my life, and that you bring that up, that you will attract, and they'll get under your skin sometimes the most, because it's issues you yourself maybe have, that I or you haven't dealt with, and or that we're dealing with, or we're working out. And that can be tough, and it is interesting, because we are meant to learn those lessons, I think.
Oh, yeah, or you have a client that you've told them over and over again that the guy's a loser and he's going to get arrested soon because he's a drug addict and his ex-girlfriend is trying to get back with him, or back at him. and you keep telling the client, she's like, oh, my God, you're right. And then sometimes the light bulb will go off, and sometimes you're like, hello, is anybody in there? And a lot of intense energy, too, with people. I mean, what's up with that, the intensity? I've noticed that people are more obsessive, not impulsive, but obsessive.
The impulsiveness I've noticed, the obsessiveness I would attribute also to the Neptune energy, because I always think of Scorpio as very obsessive, and it is, but I've noticed in the last few years, probably because I myself had a Neptune cycle that, well, it ended last year, but and that's when I was attracting very Neptunian types, is that Neptune also, Pisces, can be just as obsessive as Scorpio, but in a different way, because if they get a bit delusional in the lower form, if there's something that comes up that with Neptune cycle or Neptune energy, they'll go over and over it because they're just not they're not getting it. And you're right. I think it is heightened, and I have been seeing that a lot. It's draining. But
it really is. Yeah.
You know, and it's draining for a person to feel like that. You know, you don't want to. Nobody wants to. You know, for the person to go through it. Nobody wants to go through feeling that way. You know.
No. But you can just. Yeah. And it's just been a very interesting. Like I said, if I can go through, it's just at least this cycle better than going through Saturn and Scorpio. Oh my God.
Well, it's very different because you're in a cycle now of the spiritual, of kind of not the tangible on some level. You know, it's Neptune, it's everything of it, you know, supernatural, spiritual, fantasy, imagination, incredible creativity, compassion, that kind of stuff. But it's not as much, you know, luckily, and Jupiter's in Scorpio, so it's different. That's a different energy. Instead of Saturn, we've got Jupiter. You know?
Yeah, let's talk about the Jupiter cycle. Isn't Jupiter retrograde? I can't even remember who's retrograde.
It is, and that's one of the planets that's actually going to be direct. So that, in this summer of retrogrades, where most planets are going to be retrograde, Jupiter actually stations direct on July 8th. And Jupiter is the planet of wisdom and abundance and expansion, and it sheds a light on things. It shines a light on matters. It's in Scorpio until November 8th of this year. And in Scorpio, it does bring up the wounds, but not like Saturn did. Saturn would be really like, you got to do this or you got to. It might bring stuff up for people again. And I think we talked about this the last time. And if we didn't, if I repeat myself, I do. Right after Jupiter went into Scorpio, the Me Too movement started. And, you know, Scorpio rules wounds and intimacy and sexuality, among other things. And yet you've got the luckiest planet there. And the sense, and Scorpio, as you know, can be a very hidden and covert sign. It shed light on these blocked wounds for many people. And, yes, it made them, and some, you know, for some people, relive the pain and the wounds, very much so. But there was some healing and some hope, at least, around it. And you can see that. So Jupiter and Scorpio also can be very intense, but it can magnetize and magnify opportunities. Jupiter can in any sign. But in Scorpio, it can really be very transformational. It also can be, you know, it's extremely healing. It can be good for financial endeavors because Scorpio rules joint resources and investments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that part of it can be positive, and that is going direct on the 8th of July, and it'll be in Scorpio through November 8th. So we have it until the fall, you know, and then it'll be going into its home sign, and that's really fun. Jupiter in Sagittarius is, you know, it's about wisdom and fun and optimism and humor, and we need that. So,
hell yeah! After what you know, yeah, definitely. And I think it's just, you know, having Scorpio rising, having all these planets.
You know, and yet Jupiter is making great aspects for you. You know, with Scorpio rising, it's in your first house, which expands, it brings new beginnings, and it's the first house is the sign of, is the house of, you know, new beginnings. It's your immediate environment. It's the house itself. You said you moved 6 months ago, so that would be, my gosh, my sense of time. I think Jupiter would have already been in Scorpio then. What was the month you moved?
December.
Yeah, so Jupiter went in October, so it was already in your first house, a new beginning, you know, and a positive one, you know. And it's compatible with fellow water signs, so it's good with Pisces and Cancer. So I think Jupiter and Scorpio, for all that we're dealing with, will at least help us to, you know, to heal the wounds, because there's going to be a lot of stuff. Like you said, that heavy energy, that Mars South Node, is something that happens once every 2 years, but we're getting three hits of it. And you have a traditional malefic in the South Node, which we're meant to release. It can bring some heavy karma up for people. And it's just about, preparing oneself, surrounding oneself with tools that he or she can use that gets them through difficult times. So, it, you know, then getting, you know, purging, like you've been talking about, and taking, you know, healthy ways to get active, those kind of things.
Yeah, and just enjoying life, because it is heavy, and, you know, sometimes you're like, do I want to jump in the ocean, or do I want to be by the ocean? Those are my
mm-hmm.
two questions.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and thank God I got a sense of humor, because, like I said.
I know.
It's been one of those days, and I think that people, you know, that's why I do a show like this, just to educate people. There's other ways, there's other avenues to help. There's
mm-hmm.
other ways to deal with things. And I think astrology, as I'm getting older, I think astrology is the greatest gift you can give yourself, because you can look at those cycles. Okay, you know, because I'll call you up and I'll be like, what's going on today? I want to smoke
mm-hmm.
some. So,
and you know. Can kind of co-create with that, right? That's what I like about it. There's some things you're not going to be able to avoid lessons. So Saturn in Capricorn, Saturn rules karma, among other things, and it's about taking ownership and responsibility. And for each of us, there's some karma that I think we come into this lifetime with that we choose, but before we're born, perhaps, that, you know, that's with us. But there's some things that we do by our actions that come up with Saturn cycles, but to, you know, to work with it and to, you know, either to do right by something we've done wrong, or to build something we have been doing, you know, working on, and to structure it in a bigger way. But, you know, if we're dealing with good cycles, we can maximize that. But if we're dealing with challenging cycles that we need to glean wisdom from, well, again, we can co-create that. We can decide to do nothing about it and make it the worst experience, or we could try to, you know, do something healthy. And that's what I think is good about astrology. We have some control in this, you know?
We do, and that's with astrology. Do you, in your chart, just out of curiosity, does it show health issues that come up, or you don't go into that personally?
I can see it. I can see potential stuff for sure. I would look at the rulers of the house of health for the person. I would look if they have planets getting impacted. I can see when things like that can come up. I don't, you know, talk about, I never broach it unless a client wants to talk about it, and I don't talk ever about death or things like that. I don't do that kind of astrology. But in terms of health, a little bit, you know, but I know people that do it more that have a specialty. There are medical astrologers and financial, but yes, you would look at to see what the rulers are of the sixth house of health, for instance, and if there are any planets in that house. And you might also want to look at to see what the ruler of the 12th house, which is the Pisces house in astrology, and if there are any rulers getting impacted by that, and if there's anything hitting the sun or the Mars, stuff like that, maybe Mercury. You can see things.
Yeah, it was out of curiosity. Because
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Because different people don't know this, different astrology signs rule different parts of the body, like Pisces rules the feet.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true too. Yeah.
Leo's the heart, like you said, rules the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Scorpio is the one with the sexuality.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the sexual organs, the elimination. Yeah.
Yep. So I think that's interesting. So, Tish, we're coming to a close. Where does time go when you come on the show? It's like, where does it go?
Oh, gosh.
Where can people find you if they want to know more about what cycles to work with? Since
sure. Well, I just started a YouTube channel, and it's Tish Aitken. It's T-I-S-C-H. And my last name is Aitken, A-I-T-K-E-N. I just did two videos, the one I did last week on the new moon. And they can also find me on Facebook. It's Astrologer Tish Aitken. Or they can go to my website, which is astrologertishaitken.com.
Well, thank you for coming on tonight, and thank you for being so gracious as always. So.
Oh, well, thank you. I really love doing the show, and good luck to everybody. And now I am going to look at the salt lamp situation.
Go on to saltlamp.com.
Yeah.
And please come on in the fall so we can talk about that, too.
I'd love that. And I wish everybody good luck because we can all get through this, right? And it's going to be maybe some healthy release. That's the way we want to look at it.
Exactly. Well, this is Amy Toy for Angel Answers with Amy Toy. May the angels carry you through this summer and not out the window. Take care.